Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is John Rambo Presents the Show. My name is John. I am joined by OJ's here, everybody.
The other John.
OJ, other John. How's it going, sir? How you doing?
It's going all right. Crazy week. Looking forward to the weekend, getting some rest.
Anything interesting happen?
And nothing terribly interesting. Spent 3 hours in the Home Depot. That was exciting.
Oh, that's super interesting, sir.
Yes.
So we're going to try, this is going to be kind of a rough one. You're like half asleep. You've been working all day. And I've been sick the last couple of days. So,
yeah, I'm actually on call.
And you're on call as well.
Yeah. So if the phone goes off, I have to go fix a computer or something.
Right. Yeah. We didn't know what we got married to here. You know, a weekly show. And it's like all of a sudden, all these things arise, but, we're here. We're going to kind of push our way through.
It's still fun.
Yes, exactly. I have like an endless ocean of snot and mucus that you may hear me blowing away at times, but it's going to be okay. So let's get down to business. Last week we talked about hosting the show for download on your website. So why don't you give more detail, more information has come out about this turn of events. Give us the information.
Okay.
John.
So I just set up a website for my burgeoning candle business, and
let's explain what the candle. If people were like very confused because you just said last week that I have a candle business, so they think you're doing some sort of like, you know, decorative candles with scents. Why don't you explain exactly what these candles are?
Well, they are very decorative and they do have scents, but
yes.
No, all right, well, I started making candles for my friends as gifts and stuff for like Christmas last year, and apparently, like, I've been making, you know, weird gifts and stuff for my friends for a while and family, but apparently this time they weren't just being nice when they said that they liked it, or they were being extra convincing. So I figured I'd just roll with it. So, like, I make little figures, little characters and stuff, and the candle is in a transparent gel that can be colored to be more or less opaque. And I basically end up hanging symbols, characters, pictures, crazy stuff in there. I've got some... give my aunt one with little roses floating around,
right.
Stuff like that. So
these aren't just like candles like your mom, or your grandmother have. These are
no.
Like game, you know,
inspired
animation, comics inspired works. Like you gave me one for I think Christmas that has a Superman, Batman, and Green Lantern symbols in it.
Yeah, and then yeah,
and you're going to be taking the show on the road to Comic-Con in a couple days next week.
Yeah.
You're a Comic-Con, you're going to be having a booth.
Yes, I will. I'm going to be sharing it with a friend of mine.
All right. So, on your website, which is what?
www.geekfiregifts.com.
Geekfiregifts.com.
Yeah, very basic. Very basic.
This is your site, and you're going to be selling the stuff on there, off there eventually as well?
Yeah, eventually. Don't have too much content on the site right now, just a couple of lame little blog posts and some photos of stuff that I've done for myself and stuff I'll be bringing. Not much yet, but I'm going to be adding more as I get around to it. But the whole reason we brought this up is not to advertise for me. It's because I've already got the domain. I've already got a site. So we're going to be putting the show eventually once I can figure out how to get it to operate two WordPress installations at the same time.
Hopefully next week.
Hopefully by next week. Because it'll be great to get that running before the convention.
Yeah, and the show will be up there every week for free.
Yep.
But if you'd like to donate to the cost of the site, you know, I'm sure it costs you money to purchase the site and run the site.
Yep.
People will have the option to do that if they want to, but it is free.
Mm-hmm. And, free and optional entertainment.
Exactly. Got to keep it that way, I guess. Yeah. So geekfiregifts.com, I'll put the link in the description. Check it out, everybody.
Yeah, and as soon as I get the show blog working, so, you know, so we can upload it and have everything going there, I will let you know. More importantly, John will let you know, because
I don't really
have a way of letting people know, but that's okay.
I give you this great platform every week to let people know about things. You
know? I know. It's wonderful.
All right. Geekfiregifts.com. Moving on. Last week was episode 2 of the show. Many comments came out of this. Many strong opinions were formed. Let's hit the comments section, OJ. Read them off, sir.
All right. This one is from Joe M 1234569.
Yes.
A little trick there, trying to get you to say 7-8. But as you know, anyway. So, this comment. This show is really good at turning me on.
Wow. This man's just got raging hormones. He's got 69 in his name, first of all.
Yeah.
And he's getting turned on listening to the show. What do you feel? Let me pose this question to you. What do you feel about someone listening to your voice and becoming aroused? How does that make you feel?
Well,
is this something you've ever thought about?
No, I have never thought about that before in my life, actually. That's a bit of a stumper right there.
Well, what you think about it? We'll have to address this in a few episodes. But the fact that this guy's being turned on listening to the show turns me on, and perhaps that turns on other people. So this is just going to break down into a crazy orgy at some point, I think.
See you guys at Comic-Con.
Yes, see you at Comic-Con. By episode 15, this will be online orgy. That's what it's going to turn into. The next question says, I like the show. Next comment, I'm sorry. It says, I like the show, and I have a question for both of you guys. Did you at any time while watching a movie, reading a comic, or playing a game brought reality into the mix? For example, you were reading a comic and suddenly you were like, what is this crap? A man shoots webs and swings around and people are brought back to life after death? This is so stupid. Did this ever happen to you guys before? From the Sneakish. I would say, like, what's that old quote where reality is the greatest fiction?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. I'm not really ever shocked by or like bring reality into comics. I'm usually like things that happen in real life. I'm like, really? Did that actually happen? Like it's more of an occurrence than, you know, reality is more unbelievable at times than any fantasy fiction book or anything like that. What do you have to say about this?
It's funny. Sometimes I'm like reading or watching stuff and going back, like way back, I remember the first time I saw Soul Calibur. Right?
Yes.
And I'm seeing all these people with, you know, bladed weapons. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this looks pretty cool. And then I see a guy slice through the other guy, like through his torso. The blade goes through. And the other guy's just still standing. You know, half his health bar is gone, but he's still standing up. That definitely struck me as, wait a second. I'm not saying I want to see the guy get sliced in half and fall over Darth Maul style, bleeding all over the place, but it did strike me as kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I understand that. That's one of the things the new Mortal Kombat game got right, because you take like physical damage as you fight. You know, like your clothes get tarnished and they start to bleed and stuff, which makes sense because in all other fighting games, like the guy's perfectly fine condition until he has no life left, and then he just collapses and dies.
Oh yeah,
no progression of damage.
Well, it's funny because you play Street Fighter 2 and your character looks completely fine.
Yeah,
and then he falls unconscious, and then when you're at the continue screen, his face is all of a sudden the floor must have hit him really hard. You know, like his face was fine after getting kicked, but he hit the floor and it's all beaten up.
Perhaps after they were knocked out, the other guy ran over and started beating on their unconscious body.
No one's gonna believe we actually fought. I have to do this.
Those are funny because some of them look like they have liquid thrown on them, like jelly and mustard. So I think they just were knocked out and they ran over and started playing pranks on them, like drawing on their faces and stuff like that, perhaps. What's the next comment, sir?
All right. Oh, boy. So this one is, no offense, John, but do you smoke the reefer? Because you sound like an American version of me when I'm blazed. Anyway, guys, keep up the good work. The one called C.
I do not, actually. I'm actually a straight-edge superstar. It's not something I've ever really made public to people, but I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs, and I have not for quite some time, many, many, many years. And before people get crazy, no, I did not ever have a problem or anything like that. It's just a kind of a lifestyle choice. And I've actually not drank since, like, probably 8 years ago or something like that, 7 or 8 years ago. Just what works for me. I don't look down on others that, you know, may participate in stuff as long as it's done, you know, in a safe environment.
Yeah.
Well, that just works for me. So OJ, why don't you tell the people what drugs that you currently are taking?
All right. I don't I'm too paranoid about the law to do illegal drugs, all right? I don't even like taking Advil and aspirin and stuff. On the other hand, I will take Pepto-Bismol when my stomach hurts, and I do drink alcohol. I am a very big fan of whiskey. Irish whiskey is very nice. I like scotch, though I don't know much about it. And I've been told I have an eclectic alcohol collection. But yeah.
Personally, I just don't feel like anything good ever comes of it. Like, you have to buy it. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's physically not good for you. It sometimes leads you to be involved in situations that you should not be involved in.
To say the least.
I like to be just there all the time, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
And you know, I totally understand people sometimes turn that stuff if they're in, like, a painful situation, things like that. But you gotta kind of take the pain with the good, with the pleasure, you know. And pain's part of life, you know.
Yeah, if you're dulling the pain, you're dulling the pleasure too.
Exactly, sir. Okay, so now we got a bunch of comments about, we talked about comics last week. So this guy says, true comic fans would never give up buying the physical copy. Think of it as a business investment. Who knows, in a couple years, that might be worth a lot of money. Just look at the first Spider-Man comic, and it would be worth $1.1 million someday. LOL. It's by Omega Whip and X2. And we kind of touched on that already. I mean, it's like, if you have a comic store near you, and you have space in your home to start piling books, then you know, that's great. I mean, and we support the comic stores.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the digital stuff more because people don't have stores around them anymore.
It's unfortunate.
And people like me, I don't have space to, you know, I already have piles and piles of books, so it's a great way just to have it in your phone like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's been a comic that went up in value much in the last, like, you know, long time.
I remember when everyone went berserk for the Obama comic. Like, they thought it was going to be worth millions of dollars or something.
Some comics go up, like, big time for a while, like, when they first come out, and then they kind of die off, or the price just kind of stabilizes. And, you know, those days of stuff being worth $1 million, I think, are long gone.
You'd really have to go back because, well, once you see that a baseball card could conceivably be, once people saw a baseball card could conceivably be worth $500, people are going to hang on to those things.
Yeah, I mean, back then, it's a totally different world, though. They didn't print as many books, and like, a lot of them were damaged, and people didn't know how to take care of them. And it's just supply and demand. It's not even so much that, oh, this comic has this in it or anything like that. It's just, like, supply and demand. Like, what's the demand for anything that's come out, you know, recently when there's trade paperback versions, all kinds of different things coming out you can get it to, you know, to enjoy it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And then the next comment goes, comics going digital download is great. By the way, it's a dollar less than physical copy, which is a good incentive to buy them in this format. Flaming Weasel is the man who wrote this comment. I thought they were actually more money. I don't even know. Like, I was looking on the online store today, and some are like $2.99, some are $3.99.
Yeah, it depends.
So I think some of them have, like, $3.99. You're telling me the comic is actually $4.99? That's crazy.
But weren't they drawing the line at $2.99 last year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of them maybe are the same price, or maybe some are different, some are the same. But I don't know. As usual, we didn't really research this. I think we said that there were more for the downloading.
Yeah, we'll have to check. I mean, just go to a comic store, look at the cover.
Yeah, I mean, in any case, I think it's a fair price. $2.99, you know, it's not bad. So, read the following comments, sir.
Oh, man, okay. This is by King Blaze Dog.
Yes.
Marvel's online comic reader is much better than it was a year ago. They actually add new comics now. I was a hardcore comic fan as a kid, but then I stopped reading for 10 years. I have now been able to catch up on those lost 10 years. Nothing can beat the feel of real paper, but digicomics is cheaper for me. Not advertising, just my experience. Okay, tongue sticking out in emoticon.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because, you know, I spoke about last week, I was kind of, like, ripping on the Marvel download service, how I tried it, and I didn't have anything new, so that's pretty cool if they do have the new stuff, and it's good information. So thank you, sir, for that comment.
One thing, when I was a kid, I couldn't, my parents wouldn't give me money for comics. I mean, my parents wouldn't let me buy Street Fighter 1 when I saw it for $10 at the grocery store.
Yikes.
But I mean, I'd get comics very rarely, but now for like that era in the 90s and stuff, all that X-Men stuff, they've been releasing Essential X-Men and whatnot, these big trade paperbacks with like cheap recycled paper and no color, but at least you still get the story that way. But now they've got all this stuff online. You can read it full color, you know, high resolution, like, wow.
Yeah, I'm totally out of the loop with Marvel. Like, I don't even know what's going on anymore, man. I got pretty upset with them, like, a couple years ago, and they started having, like, Norman Osborn and Gwen Stacy are back, and, you know, they have kids, and they fight Spider-Man, and, like, I don't know what's going on, man.
Well, I think the big X-Men thing right now is, what, Schism? Or is it pronounced Schism? If I understand from what it looks like, it's a big Wolverine versus Cyclops, the X-Men are torn apart type thing. And honestly, I kind of want to read it, but I'm a little afraid that it's going to put Cyclops in a bad light again, which really ticks me off.
It's like Civil War with the X-Men.
It seems like it might be. They have it on the site that we're using for the DC stuff. They were like, oh, Schism episode number 5. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm tempted.
Well, perhaps we'll have to get into the Marvel stuff as well. I don't know.
Steve Shane,
you could read it on the download, so perhaps you will be able.
Yeah, but if they keep just having Cyclops be an idiot, I'm going to be very sad.
All right, we got a comment from Dylan Noir. Is that right?
That's how I'd say it.
Hey, Rambo, would you ever do a comic book collection video like you do for the game collection vid you do? I think many people would like to see this. I'm sorry. Keep up the good work. I would have to have like several people, several experts come in and organize the disaster that is the comic book collection. I'd probably need like some sort of cameraman, and it would be about 400 videos.
You have a lot, dude. The box you gave me has so much stuff in it.
Yeah, it's just too much. I mean, if there's ever a point where I'm going through it and I'm starting to organize it, and like maybe I could pull certain ones that are worth talking about, then it'll probably happen. But yeah, I need some major organization, and it's pretty hard. I mean, you know,
well, at least you bag and board it.
I don't know if comics lend themselves to that kind of a video as well as games do, because games you could kind of stack them and that's that. You know,
and, you know, there's not, you know, 500 in a box.
There's not 5 billion of them. So continue with the comments here.
Oh, okay. Stay ballsy, my friends. Ryan to own for me?
I like it. That's the new quote, everybody. Let's get this moving.
Spread it around. Spread the word.
Just say it to random people in your family instead of saying like goodbye or goodnight. Just say, stay ballsy, my friend. Instead.
Get this across the nation.
Yeah, let's get this rolling. Let's meme it up. What else we got?
All right, we got from Movieman 175. This is just as good as Howard Stern, lol.
I take that as a great compliment, but I don't believe we're on the level of the great Howard Stern.
Hop along, Howard.
What?
Someone was talking about Howard Stern tonight, and they said that if you watch his movie, apparently at some point his format got changed to be a country western station. Yeah, so they had to call him Hop Along Howard.
Yeah, Private Parts is a great movie. I actually grew up listening to Stern, and is a big influence on me and also DSP, actually. We should actually have him on sometime to talk about Stern Show and stuff. But I think it's part of the reason why I'm doing what we're doing is, listening to that dude for a very long time. So I take it as a compliment, but I don't believe we're on the level there. And he's certainly making more money, so therefore his show is better.
Seriously.
All right, so I'm just going to go quickly through what I did this week. That was on Friday, was episode 2 of the show. On Saturday, I went to DSP's house. We did Smart Guys, the Smart Guys Super Show, which we now call it, because it features not only the superstars of Raw and SmackDown, but the superstars of Ring of Honor.
Oh.
And you can watch the latest episode of Ring of Honor Wrestling TV on their website, ROHWrestling.com. You can sign up for a free account. And you can watch the show. You should definitely check it out. I'm plugging it like crazy. I don't work for them or anything like that. It's not a sponsor of the show. I just would really like to, you know, for that brand to grow. We also did the Gunslinger, which is another Kinect game. Phil's killing me with the
Gunstringer.
Gunstringer. I'm sorry. Yes. You've heard of this game?
I've seen advertisements for it on websites.
It was pretty fun. It's another Kinect game, though, and Phil's killing me, making me play Kinect games all the time. And we were joking around saying that I'm becoming like the Kinect expert.
The Kinect expert.
The Kinect expert, yes. And we did a video review, which I scored the game a 5.96 out of 10. And hopefully the next game that we do will not be a Kinect game. I don't want to be like, you know, pigeonholed as the Kinect dude.
It's too late. You've already said it in people's minds. The seed is growing.
They see me, they see Kinect. That's how it works.
You're just a big walking creepy camera that follows them.
On Sunday, we did put up more archived footage from DopeLotus.com, Super Street Fighter 2, the Super Turbo Revolution that was put up on Sunday. I put up a video from January 9th of 2011, actually. it was 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So thank you to the people that checked that out. Speaking of Don't Blow This, I actually conducted a 2 hour long interview with Riz One, who's one of the guys that went to Japan for Tugeki Super Battle Opera 2011. And I'm probably going to put that up on the channel on Monday. So that's a little early preview for next week. It was a 2 hour interview, John. We did this a couple days ago.
Wow.
Yes.
That must have been quite the...
It's pretty cool. He talks about going to, you know, his entire history with Street Fighter, going to Japan, the whole tournament. He goes through details of it and stuff. So I expect you to listen to the entire thing in one sitting, John.
In one sitting?
Yes.
Wow, that's a tall order.
I expect you to film it and show me the video.
I'll see what I can do.
And then on Monday, I did an update to my game collection, which is a series what we talked about earlier, where I just kind of show what games I have, and I haven't done one since like November of last year. So I did an update video showing like the last several months of stuff I picked up, all the different games. And we just happened to have some comments from that video. Why don't you read them off, sir?
All right. This one's from Lost in Arizona. I remember any time we purchased a new game, the instructional manual was a big deal. It's sad that so many games are downloadable now, and box games don't come with much. The new generation is truly missing out. Also, if I remember correctly, in Chun-Li's bio under her weight, it says, "She won't tell, lol." Great vid, John. Now, I gotta say, when it comes to instruction manuals, I'm the kid who, every time I bought a game, like when I was a little kid, my mom was driving me home, I would read the instruction manual in the car ride home. I mean, that's what I would do. I would finish reading it when I got home. Yeah, I would read everything. I read The Legend of Zelda, saw that they told you how to get to the first dungeon, all that other cool stuff, like right there. Looked at the maps, looked for cool stuff in there, looked for hints, you know, went through everything. And then when we started buying games, like you, Kevin, and I would like go out and we bought some random game and we, you know, just get home and start playing it. You guys would sit down and start playing. I'd read the manual.
You're a manual guy.
What?
Yeah, you're a manual guy. You always love the manuals.
Well, yeah, and then we'd start playing the game, and I'd start pulling some, like, crazy garbage. I'd still lose, because you guys are awesome, but, like, I'd pull some crazy move out of nowhere, and you guys are like, what was that?
Like, yeah, I usually yell at you, because I'm like, why are you looking at the manual still playing the game? Then all of a sudden, you would know how to play. But, yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, the manuals were a big deal. When I was, like, a really little kid, I used to buy the game, and I would just carry the thing around. I'd, like, go to school with it.
Yeah.
Carried around all the time, and they were great. They had a lot of information, a lot of big pictures, and a lot of original artwork, stuff like that.
Well, looking back, like the Super Nintendo era, like the Final Fantasy games, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really get that great of a character portrait on the Super Nintendo, but you open up the book and then you see, oh, that's what that guy looks like?
Right.
Wow.
Sometimes it didn't really match the game, though, especially like the NES era.
Oh, gosh.
It would have, like, this, like, this really great hand-drawn art, and then like the actual way the guy looked is just like a little sprite. You know, it's like, oh. But it kind of added to the imagination of the whole thing, I say.
Yeah. Like, it gave you a starting point.
Yeah. In defense of the current generation, I mean, do you really need a manual anymore, though? Because there's so much stuff out there. You can go online, and there's every game has its own website. And there's all kinds of different art for it, like, everywhere, and there's so much information out there that, yeah, you know, it was just a totally different era. I don't think you can really compare the two eras like that.
I don't know. I still read it, man.
Yeah, it's a great thing to have. I mean, it adds value to what you're buying, you know, absolutely. But I could also see that other side of it where, like, there's a lot of information out there already.
Well, not to mention... Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, not to mention that, like, a lot of games now have tutorials that basically, if you've read the manual, you're just sitting there thinking, move on, come on, I already read this, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. So have you know sometimes it's they make it redundant with the tutorials, but other games there have been a couple of games recently where they just throw you straight in, don't give you a tutorial, and it's really jarring after getting so used to the games pampering us for like the past few years.
Yeah, they have like built-in manuals in the games and stuff.
Yeah. I still like having the paper thing now.
Do you have any comments on Chun-Li's weight, saying she won't tell? What do you think her weight is? Is she too large for you? Would you date her? Does she need to lose weight?
I would not say that she needs to lose weight, except for the fact that her hips are scary.
Okay. I don't know how to take that, but we'll move on. This man, Static Veins, which is a great name, Static Veins. Seeing you open up and look through that Sega Genesis copy of Street Fighter 2 is giving me some major nostalgia. The Genesis, well, Mega Drive over here, was my first console, and I haven't seen those good old plastic game boxes complete with peg hook in far too many years. Another great video, John.
Oh, the peg hook.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, it actually had what I did in the videos, I had a complete Super Nintendo game in the box with the dust cover and the plastic tray and everything, the manuals. And then I had a Genesis game that was complete, and it had like the peg hook everything. So.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And the final comment, why don't you read that, sir?
Yo, Rambo, wasn't that a Street Fighter 2 booklet you had for the SNES Super Street Fighter 2 case? The El Joker 88.
Yeah, like I didn't even notice this, but this dude watched the video and he saw it. Basically, I got ripped off and I didn't even know. But my Super Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo has the World Warrior booklet inside of it.
Oh, man.
Booklet. I didn't even realize, so I just want to thank that dude for figuring that out.
Did you get pwned by Funko Land?
I don't, who knows where I got that. I mean, this must have been forever ago. Who knows, dude? It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's okay. So that was it for me for my channel. Not too much going on this week just because I was pretty busy with stuff. And the last couple of days I've been sick. So, one of the things I did is me and Howard, and I want to have him in to talk about this at some point, but me and Howard had to take apart the, arcade cabinets because the monitors need some work.
Ah.
So I had to go over there. This was like an all-day affair, dude. Went over there. We had to take the monitors out, put them in the truck, drove 2.5 hours to New Jersey. This is the only store that can work on this stuff. They're like, or specializes in this kind of thing. You know, these 20-year-old monitors. So it was like a 3-hour drive. Went there, dropped the stuff off. The dude that worked at the place was amazing. Had this very, very heavy accent. And, he was talking to Howard. It was like a very funny conversation. You know, Howard was talking about how he doesn't like to work on the monitors because there's live electricity that runs through it, and he's afraid.
Oh, the capacitors, right?
Yeah. So the guy's like, Howard, tell me, why are you afraid, Howard? First thing, you must trust me. Trust me, Howard. Like, it was just very funny. I wish I had recorded this stuff. So that was like a full day. That kind of prevented me from, you know, doing a lot more videos, and then we have to go back and pick them up, so they're being worked on now. And I actually, on, what day was it? I think Wednesday, I appeared in like 3 parts of DSP's Rage playthrough, because I swung by over there, we had to talk about something. So there's like 3 random parts where I'm in his Rage playthrough of Rage. And we wanted to talk about this, but Donkey Kong Country 2 will return eventually, but maybe next week. I put up, like, last week what we had done, like, 4 parts, and then my friend and I haven't been able to get back together. So we will finish that soon, and you and I will finish Metal Slug at some point as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Probably after the convention.
Yeah, we got, like, 5 more to talk about.
Tell Kevin I say hi, dang it.
Yeah, you should. We should all do something.
Totally. That would be great. It'd be reuniting the crew, man.
He can come on here, too, and stuff, so.
Yeah.
People don't really know who he is. It's funny. Like, they sometimes think they think he's you. They don't know much about, cause, like,
but then they realize he's witty.
No, stop. The self-deprecation stuff isn't cute anymore, okay?
All right. I was trying to compliment him, but okay.
Yeah. But if you want to be, like, deprecated, just wait. Let the people in the comments do it. You don't have to do it yourself.
It's already happened. Yeah.
But, okay, so yeah, we got to do a little Metal Slug stuff. So moving on, some comics came out this week, and we want to do a weekly comic segment. I wasn't able to read them because I had a lot going on and stuff. So what came out this week? Why don't you talk about a little bit about?
Well, I read Action Comics number 2.
Yes.
And my notes on this were very sparse, but
try not to spoil it because I didn't read it.
Yeah, here's all I'm going to tell you.
Next week, but just kind of go through it.
Lois Lane is Molly Shannon.
She's a superstar?
No, she just looks... There's a couple of scenes where she looks exactly like Molly Shannon. She is making this face. It is ridiculous.
But That's what you came out of reading this entire comic. That's your notes.
No, that's half of them.
Okay.
The other half is that this seems a little bit more realistic than the happy Superman that we had before. I miss the Boy Scout Superman, but all the people love him. The police are so happy for him. This seems a little bit more realistic. Like this guy just starts coming out of here, jumping buildings, punching stuff, getting hit by trains, and everyone's just cool with that. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely fresher. You talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's giving me that. I'm getting that feeling.
Okay, I'm gonna read it, and then also Detective Comics came out number 2.
Yeah, which
read that as well.
That was good. I mean, it was a little weird. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. I got and read Detective Comics number 1 first, and then immediately read 2.
All right, why don't you talk about 1 for a minute or two since you didn't mention that last week or talk about?
I could have sworn you did mention it last week.
Well, I did, but I didn't get your side of it.
I thought it was pretty cool, although I'm completely confused. First of all, the Joker looks like he had a mohawk, first of all.
Yes.
Which is just a little weird. And then they pull a John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, and his face comes off, and they tape it to the wall. I don't know what to think at this point. I mean, it's cool because Batman's doing his detective thing. Like, he's seriously, like, you see him thinking really hard about stuff. Realizing, oh gosh, this is a trap, blah, blah, blah. You get to see his thought processes and how smart he is, aside from how scary and how much he kicks people's butts for inexplicable reasons. But I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Though there is one thing still back about Superman that I didn't pick up on. They didn't say it in the book, but there's a section at the back that talks about the characters a little bit. You know, just a little, oh, blah, blah, blah. This is what we were thinking when we came up with Lois Lane this way, or when we came up with Jimmy Olsen that way. Mm-hmm. They talk about his parents.
Yeah.
And some stuff that I hadn't picked up from reading the book about them. And it was just kind of, it's weird. I don't know if they're planning on making it a secret or just revealing it at some point. But, Ma and Pa Kent, they say something rather unnerving about, like rather unexpected about them that I just didn't think they would do right off the bat. So it was kind of weird. I won't spoil it or anything.
Okay.
But
we'll do a more, we'll do a more comprehensive comic book review next week. More stuff will be out, and I'll be able to read the stuff from this week that I missed out on.
Hmm.
Why did Justice League number 2 not come out first? Because that was actually the first one to come out, and that's been delayed or something. What's going on? Do you have any information?
No, I have absolutely no information on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No help. Thank you, sir. No help to anyone.
I know. Wait. I can't be self-deprecating. You can say I'm useless?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
This is the business relationship. You signed the contract, okay? You know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, about that, did I have to kill somebody and use their blood? I mean, mine's perfectly good.
Okay. So, oh my god, this guy. All right, so I picked up some games this week, and I'll just talk about them quickly. I picked up NBA 2K12, which is the latest NBA basketball game. It's a lot of fun. It's all based around the classic players and classic teams. It has like 15 different legendary players, and you can like play as their teams and like take them through an actual game that they played.
Hmm.
What's cool about it is like there's even teams from like the 60s.
That far back?
Yeah, so you play a game with like the teams from the 60s, the entire look of the game changes. Like it's black and white. They actually took the commentary and made it like sound grainy, like a wood bat. Like the whole production matches like the era that you are playing in.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's beautiful, dude. Like as the 80s, even like the 80s, they made it look a little more, like washed out color wise, and all the graphics that come up look like that era. It's really cool. Some funny stuff you could do with it. Like you could play the season mode. I think they call it the Association, which is like a simulation of the actual season. And what you could do is like you could put some of these teams in there if you want.
Wait, the so old I put ones? This,
yeah, the old ones. So I put the 1964-65 Celtics into the season, along with all the current teams, and like it's a simulation of the season. So like what started happening is like the team started trading their players. like it started doing it on its own. Because you could have the computer could do its own trade. So it was like trading the guys from the 60s, like, for other guys, and like Bill Russell was being traded to the Spurs and shit. And, like, it was pretty crazy, man. It was like, I don't know, it kind of blew my mind. So I'm having fun with that. I'll definitely be talking more about it as I, you know, keep getting further into it. And the other game I got was Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. I need a PS3.
Game's nuts, man. I only played like a half hour of it. I just got it like yesterday. But it's for 360. I got it for 360.
Wait, for 360 too?
Yeah, that's what I got it for.
Well, I got to play Demon's Souls first.
Okay. You're one of those people.
Yeah.
But I never played Demon's Souls. So this is like, what an interesting game this is, man. This is very, very different than anything I ever played. Very cool. It's brutal. It's a throwback to almost that NES difficulty where you just die instantly.
Yeah.
But your mic just changed completely.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it okay?
It sounds better now.
Oh, well, if it's bad, just let me know, man.
No, it's, I don't know. It's better.
Yeah.
What an interesting game. Yeah, as I keep playing it, I'll talk about it next week as well. Maybe do a little more of a full review because I'm only like a half hour into it. But you should definitely try this game out. I encourage anyone to try it. It's pretty radical, actually. So
I actually had a discussion with this about this with a friend of mine on Tuesday, and yeah. He was telling me that he liked Demon's Souls, you know, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing for him about the game was that when you die, the game really stops and makes you think, well, why did I die? What was it that caused me to die? And then you have to you fix that, you move over, you move on. Like, it really makes you think about it because you're going to die a lot. And the other thing that he pointed out was that pretty much this is one of the few games – that was one of the few games where any enemy that you meet in the game could realistically kill you. Like, you're not just running around with little doofuses dealing you 10 hit points of damage out of, like, your 10,000. No, everything is pretty dangerous.
Right. Yeah, and it's so rewarding when you get through, like, these difficult sections. Like, you just feel so good. Like, oh, fuck, I beat that. It was great. I figured it out, and I survived it. So that's great. Like, that feeling of reward is missing from a lot of games.
Yeah, because you actually had to struggle for it, right?
You got to work for it, and then you get paid off, you know. And then that whole thing you were talking about as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, so we want to move in to my next purchase this week, the next thing I got, The Lion King on Blu-ray. And what we're going to do is we're bringing a special guest, a Lion King expert, is going to join us. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause, and then we're going to come right back and discuss The Lion King Blu-ray. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We've brought in, we're talking about Lion King on Blu-ray. We brought in a Lion King expert, a man you may have heard of. Ladies and gentlemen, Darkside Phil is here.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Welcome.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're just doing some stuff, talking about some things.
I am the world-renowned expert on Lion King, by the way. Like,
all right, so why don't you talk about your history with Lion King? A lot of people don't know this. They want to know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people my age, you know, and our age, as we were growing up, you know, you had that series of Disney movies, the animated movies that were coming out like one a year. And I really never caught on, never really liked many of them. Aladdin I thought was pretty good, but most of those, let's be honest, Beauty and the Beast, you know, Pocahontas, they're all geared towards like girls, you know? It wasn't something that was going to appeal to anyone. And then when Lion King came out, I remember I went to the movies with my parents and I watched it, and when it was over, I was like, this is a movie that like speaks to all audiences. And the music, the art, the story, everything about it, I thought was really – it was – if that movie wasn't animated, I still would have liked that movie. You know what I mean? It's not because it was a cartoon wasn't the reason that I really like it. So anyway, Lion King is probably my number one favorite animated film of all time. Coming in a close second would probably be Transformers the movie.
Right.
So look at the comparison there. You know, you're talking something that's totally for all boys, you know, or guys versus – you know, this other cartoon, but I ended up seeing the movie 3 times in theaters, I believe.
Wow.
I think twice with my parents and then once with my friends, and my grammar school class actually ended up doing a musical of it, and I ended up playing the part of Zazu in the musical.
Nice.
You gotta find the lost footage of that.
Oh, God. I hope no one recorded that.
I'll be uploaded to DSP Lion King. yeah, the movie's just got such great emotional content. So let's talk about the actual release. I actually got it at Toys R Us, and it was 1999. Like, I didn't even know this. I just went in to get it. It was 1999, which was awesome. And it came with a giant poster.
Yep.
So it was a great freaking deal. I know you. What did you get it from Disney directly?
I got it from Disney through their website because okay. I own other Disney Blu-rays, and you get like extra points if you order it through the website. And they mailed it to me a week early. I ended up getting it on Monday, so I actually saw it a day earlier than everyone else.
Oh wow! Broke street dates.
That's right.
Disney's breaking its own street dates. So yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize that, you know, for our generation, that was a huge movie. And like you said, like you saw it three times. I think everyone saw it like multiple times.
And, oh yeah. Our middle school was obsessed with it. I saw it four or five times in middle school, and then they took us to the musical on Broadway.
Yeah, I didn't get into the musical. I never saw it, but remember like, what was it, like Burger King or McDonald's had the toys?
Yeah, it was Burger King, man. It was huge. It was even on the news. Like they had, not Happy Meal, but I guess whatever the BK.
Kids Meal.
And they had Lion King toys, and there were lines. There were lines on the delivery day when these toys were being delivered to Burger King of kids lining up to get these toys. That's how popular the movie was.
Yeah, that was craziness. People trampling each other for Lion King toys.
Aww. But, that's really – just think about it.
Hey, man, these things happen, okay? It's the circle of life, John.
That's right.
Don't challenge it. So I want to talk about the actual Blu-ray itself. It had these deleted scenes, which were pretty interesting, and there's like in the extras.
Eye-opening deleted scenes, for sure.
Eye-opening deleted scenes. One of them being a Mufasa song number that was cut from the movie.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was just very goofy, man.
Because we always wanted to hear Darth Vader singing.
Yeah, it was just... That's pretty much what the song sounded like. It was very strange and, I'm the king, I'm the commander. You know, like, what the hell is this, dude? So that was cut from the movie. And then another one that was very interesting, I guess they made this scene to explain why Nala left the Pride Lands and went to fight and eventually found Simba.
Mm, right.
It was basically that Scar decided that he wanted heirs. He wanted to reproduce and have you know, children, I guess, and he basically decides that, well, I'm gonna rape Nala now.
Well, I don't know if they would call it rape. It is a monarchy, and you do.
Yes,
they do have certain privileges when you are the king.
So it's not rape, forcibly. If you're the king, it's okay.
That's right.
It's good to be the king.
That's damn straight.
Well, Phil is a king, so he knows this thing. We don't know this stuff.
I mean, even though the scene, obviously, it's not a kid scene. It's not something that if a kid watched this, they'd say, Mommy, what is going on? You know, but as an adult watching it, I actually think the scene adds more to the story because it shows how much of a tyrant that Scar had become, that he didn't really give a crap about anyone in their, you know, in their group, that he really only cared about himself. It explains why Nala left. It explains why the hyenas, how they got introduced into this this society. It really, you know, the movie never always had those, like, plot holes, and you were like, man, it's just kind of weird that all of a sudden Nala's wandering around and runs into Simba. Like, why is she wandering? Why did she leave the Pride? So it answered a lot of plot holes for me, but I couldn't understand why that scene was left out.
I never even questioned. I was like, oh, Nala left. She's doing stuff. Yay.
Yeah, it was odd because it's him basically saying, well, you know, we're going to reproduce and we're going to mate. And she's like, no. And then it goes into like a song about how he's going to.
Yeah, that was great. A musical. I'm going to have sex with you against your will.
Be prepared.
Be prepared because I'm horny.
Because I'm coming. Yeah, that should be.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Yes. So that was interesting. And I guess the play, they said that actually has parts of that in the play.
Yes, it does.
Did you see the play?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you recommend people see that?
I definitely recommend the play. I have to say the play is definitely a different entity than the movie. Let's put it that way. There are changes in the plot. There are different things that happen, such as that scene, for example. And it's definitely, I would say, catered towards a more adult audience because they understand if you're coming to Broadway, you probably have some money. It's probably an adult. It's not, you know, a group of 10-year-olds going to see the Lion King musical by themselves. Right. So, yeah. But yeah, the musical, I liked it a lot. I thought the set pieces were great. That a lot of people were complaining when the musical came out. Oh, how could you have a mask that's not on your face? That's it's like a head above you and it's like a puppet. I thought it worked fine. I really liked the musical a lot. It's just it's definitely different from the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember much, but it was different. And the masks, I mean, they were weird at first, but it made a lot of sense. I mean, plus you can't really sing through that.
Right.
So both of you guys saw this movie. No, neither of you took me to it.
Dude, I was in seventh grade, and we saw it as a field trip.
It's no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. I have you on my show, and you don't take me to Lion King.
Had we met?
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
It is still playing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check it out, to be honest. I think they actually talked a lot about the play in the documentary that was included, which was kind of surprising. They went into a lot of details about that, as well as the movie. So I'm going to check it out. What's interesting about the movie is a lot of people think about it as like, oh, it's Disney. It's like this big thing, this big operation. They just kind of throw it together. But in reality, like they showed, it was basically a small group of people that, you know, poured their blood, sweat, and tears and busted their asses to make this movie.
Right.
You know, just like anything, you know, just like a lot of this stuff. And
I think
the documentary was really good.
I think the most interesting thing about the documentary on this DVD is that they explain that at the time, Aladdin hadn't even come out yet. And so there really wasn't a history of these Disney movies coming out and being hits.
Right.
And at the time, everyone thought, oh, you know, the next big one will be Pocahontas. Everyone's going to like Pocahontas. And no one really wanted to work on The Lion King because they thought that it was going to be a flop. And, you know, the Aladdin would be good. Then you'd have like a bye year with Lion King. And then Pocahontas would like blow it out of the charts. And then it ended up being vice versa. You know, Lion King did insanely well. And Pocahontas was pretty much considered a flop.
Yeah. And they talked about the pressure of coming off of, like, just imagine Beauty and the Beast is out. That's crazy. Aladdin came out, huge money, and then you have your movie. Like, that must be so nerve-wracking. But Lion King wound up being the biggest one. And, like, I really think it was, like, downhill after Lion King, though. I mean, they didn't really get into that, but then you had, like, Hercules and Tarzan and a lot of stuff didn't really...
Right.
Pocahontas, like you said, didn't really capture the attention of people as well. But one of the things I really liked in the documentary, this was interesting... They talked about the African music that they put into the Elton John song. And the lyrics that they used were actually very politically charged lyrics. So, like, when they're singing about things, they're actually saying, like, you know, down with the government and free the people and things like that.
Yeah. And you wouldn't know that, you know.
No idea. So I think that's really cool. Like, it's really, like, edgy content to it. And they had mentioned that Disney at some point was, all right, we need a translation of these songs.
Oh, no.
And they basically just told them, well, yeah, it means like the lions jumping and hopping. And stuff so, like.
Completely lied to them. It's so funny.
It's so good, though, man. So good.
Well, I guess you couldn't explain that the real lyric is like, pull them in the streets, execute them on the curb, yeah. Kill the president, down with the anarchy.
Anarchy for everybody.
Kill them all.
That's what Elton John had in mind the whole time.
Well, the other thing was that the guy who had wrote – I forget what his name was, Nico or something like that. The guy who had wrote those lyrics, before they were going to record them in the studio for like the final cut for the actual intro of Lion King, for the Circle of Life, he had gone back to Africa for a year to do political things with like overthrowing the government. And they were worried he wasn't going to be back in time to cut this song for the movie. And then he literally showed up like at the last possible minute, ran in. He said, are you ready to do it? Yeah, I'm ready. And he just sang the lyrics. And then it's only one take. They even said that's one take, that Circle of Life intro. All the African lyrics was one freaking take. They never took another one.
Yeah, it was amazing. And the guy, it's a great documentary. The guy, they basically just said he came in, put the mic on and rolled. That was it. And it's great, you know. I thought the documentary was really funny. They had Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane at like a coffee shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were just bullshitting about stuff. I thought that was really good.
Well, that was funny because, first of all, and I do want to mention this, I didn't even know back at when the movie was new that was Matthew Broderick doing Adult Simba. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Because I only known him from Ferris Bueller. I didn't know him from anything else. So I didn't recognize his voice.
Yeah.
But to have these two guys who then later on met up and did The Producers, and it became one of the most successful Broadway plays ever, then a successful movie, and that the fact that this was really the first project they'd ever worked on together, and then it went on to something else, but they didn't really know each other at the time. I really liked that dynamic. Like, he's like, oh, I think, Nathan, I think I walked by you in the hallway one day and you were like, oh, it's Matthew. And you just like, hey, or something, like a diva.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really funny stuff in there with them. Matthew Broderick brought up how there was a, I guess the original voice for Nala was someone else.
Yes.
He didn't say who it was, but he was like, I guess he met the woman that eventually did it. And he's like, oh, what do you do? What did you do on the movie? And she's like, I was Nala. And he's like, really? I worked with someone else. That's the side of the big production side of things.
For last
week. I wanted to get your thoughts on the actual Blu-ray movie and like the quality and what you thought of it.
Oh, but it was hands down. It's probably the most beautiful hand-drawn movie that like you could possibly see. Like, it's so much detail and the colors. I mean, it's the first time I've seen it, you know, on a DVD, actually. I owned the VHS cassette, you know, back in the day, and I never actually got it on DVD. So to see it again and to see it in this, you know, the high-definition picture, the colors, I remembered being in the movies watching it and how good it looked in the movies, you know?
Yeah,
it kind of brought you back to that. And then also, you know, the surround sound, they use the DTS audio, which is actually the highest quality audio transfer that they have right now. I could hear, like, in the intro, when the elephants were walking, you could hear boom, boom. You hear it actually vibrating with your subwoofer. It was just so good. And this is the best way to view it. I was talking about this the other day with you, John, how you could see the lines, like, the actual lines in the art. You can see the detail. Like, you can see that it was actually, like, a pen or a crayon or whatever they used to draw it. It wasn't, you know, like a digital line. And they don't do that anymore. Like, everything now is all, you know, made by computer. And it's all perfect. And, you know, this is, like, the best hand-drawn art before they moved on into that era where everything became digitized. So I thought it was an awesome version of the movie.
Yeah, it's really just incredible. The color is so vibrant. It just gives the whole thing like just new life. And I actually saw the 3D movie version, which was in the theaters the last 2 weeks. And this was even a better experience than that. Like the Blu-ray was much better than that.
Hmm.
That was pretty cool, though, I have to say, that the whole 3D thing. I know a lot of people don't like the 3D movies. I certainly don't like the price that you pay to go see them.
Well, you don't think $18 is fair?
I think it was something like $16, pretty crazy. Yeah. But I don't know, I kind of like it in some ways because it's an experience that you can't really get from home.
Yet.
So it's like, why should I go to the movies if I could just watch the Blu-ray, you know, anyway? So it kind of gives you like a different aspect of the movie.
Another reason to go see it again.
Another reason to actually go to the movie.
Well, let me ask, what was the best 3D effect in the movie?
The opening sequence was very good. Certain parts were not 3D at all. But the opening, you know, obviously the opening was amazing. And some of the musical numbers, which you've kind of seen, you don't really care about, like I Can't Wait to Be King, like that whole thing.
Mm.
All of a sudden that was like really cool to watch again because all the stuff going on and like the 3D effects made it really nice. But I think the Blu-ray and the quality of that just even blows that away, so... that's the Lion King. Like I like in the documentary, they talk about how it's actually like a very human story, even though it's animals talking, like it's very human. There's all very human emotions in it. And a lot of people worked on it. They have lost their parents or their fathers. And, it's a great tale.
I liked how the original name of it was supposed to be King of the Jungle. And they realized halfway through production that there's no jungle. So they had to get rid of the name. Oh yeah. They live on the Serengeti. Oops.
Yes.
King of the Savannah.
So I think that's our spiel for Lion King. Anyone wants to add on this? Any thoughts? Anything else additional?
I haven't seen that movie in like 10 years, dude.
Okay. You should have watched it.
That's right. It's a timeless classic. It's not a stoner movie.
Yes.
Like a lot of people say that Simba left to go do drugs in the forest with
Pumbaa. Yes.
And left society like a hippie and then came back later on to get his responsibilities back. That's not the theme of the movie.
Well, perhaps that's symbolism, though. Maybe that's what, like, he dropped out of society to, you know, he lived with these derelicts. And eventually, you know, he overcame his demons and he returned and saved them. But one thing I always wondered, like, what happened with the hyenas? Why were they not allowed to be part of the Pride Lands in the first place?
Because they were dicks.
What did they do? They were just
the hyenas were like, I hate to say this, they're like the Mexicans of the movie.
Oh my god!
What?
Because that's why you had Cheech Marin played one of them. Yeah, like the offcast of one that people don't think are good enough to be part of the mainstream society, so they treat him like shit.
Okay. They never really explained what, like, why they were exiled, or, and then they never really kind of brought them back, or, like, said, oh, yeah, now you can, I'm the king now, and, like, you guys can participate, or whatever. You're still screwed, I guess. I don't know. One thing I noticed about the movie, like, there's only, like, two men in the movie.
Yeah.
As far as the lions go, it's like Scar, Mufasa,
yeah,
are like only male lions.
Well, you do realize that in a lot of lion prides, that's actually kind of accurate.
Yeah, that is. But like, what exactly are the king? Is he a king of?
A lot of women.
He's a king of the 25 women he gets to bang every night.
He's a king of like the 30 square feet that the lions live in the cave. Like what? I don't.
The king of pride. Is
he a king of like every lion?
If you know what we're saying.
I guess he's not really the lion, you know, is he the lion, the king of all the lions? Couldn't he have, you know...
He's the lion pimp.
The lion pimp.
Oh, gosh. That as well. Bad mental image.
All right. This is going completely off the rails, so let's move away from Lion King now. I think we covered that. I want to talk about a little bit, like, this is the new, you know, TV show time, fall season. So I just want to get a, like, what shows you guys watching or any new shows you're into or anything like that going on. Start with, Phil, what shows are you watching?
New shows. I'm trying to think.
Or old shows, whatever. Like, what are you watching right now?
Well, some interesting stuff going on with some of the shows I watch, like with House. House has gone in a totally new direction because Dr. House is now in jail.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And, you know, I guess driving a car into your ex-girlfriend's house will probably do that to you. So maybe that's a recommendation for people who don't drive cars into your ex's houses. You might go to jail.
But how does it work? Like, did you show him in jail the whole time, or is it like...
Yeah, the whole first episode, it's the story is that he's been in jail for a year, and he's up for parole, and it's his last week in jail, and it's his experiences with all these people in jail trying to fuck him over and steal his stuff and get him in trouble so that his parole gets blown, and how people are, like, you know, abusing him and what he's trying to do to survive because people try to shank him and shit.
Oh, nice.
So it's a completely different show than it was last season, but already, I saw the preview for next week, and already he's out of jail. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well,
there's just people tune in for like the first episode, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's go back to the normal stuff.
All right. Let's see. What else am I watching? CSI, which is obviously getting to be a very old show at this point, but it's still going. Ted Danson has joined the cast of CSI.
What the hell?
Ted Danson.
And Ted Danson is now the leader of the group. He's the new boss.
And he plays the same character that he played in Cheers.
He plays. Oh, my God. That would be bad. No, he plays a weird, eccentric guy who, like, has all these weird, like, mannerisms. And, like, right in the middle of the case, he'll get a call from his wife, and he'll just answer the phone and start talking to his wife for 15 minutes. And it's like, what the hell? Like, what kind of a character is this?
Priorities?
So that's really weird right now. That show's really weird because of Ted Danson, I think. I don't know. I was actually talking to my mom about it the other day because she likes the show, and she's like, I can't watch that show anymore. That show's going to get canceled.
She's like, fuck Ted Danson. I will not watch this now.
That asshole.
Cheers blows.
I'm trying to think what new shows are on this year.
Did you watch the, what's that Jurassic Park inspired?
Terra Nova.
Okay, the one where they go back in time?
Yes. And very weird premise where I guess it's a almost like a post-apocalyptic Earth. The Earth is falling apart. They've used all the resources of Earth. And so mankind's about to go extinct. And then somehow they found a wormhole to the past where there's still dinosaurs and shit. And
what the fuck?
Then they find out, oh, well, wait a minute. If we go back to repopulate, won't that screw up the timeline and therefore, you know, destroy time itself? And then somehow they find out, no, it's actually a wormhole to another dimension that's a parallel universe of Earth. It's not really Earth.
We have no problem screwing with that.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
We'll just fuck their timeline.
This is the most accurate portrayal of things ever. This is what people definitely would do if this was real.
But
it sounds cool. Like, I'd like to check it out. I almost wish they just did like a Jurassic Park thing. I would be all over that.
Well, aren't they possibly doing another couple movies?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I heard they might, but I kind of hope they don't.
Yeah, they could have done like a series where you just kind of like restart the whole thing.
Well, they're like, restarting enough crazy stuff, so why not Jurassic Park?
I was trying to think. You just want to see Jeff Goldblum return, don't you?
Jeff Goldblum.
Must go faster.
Remember when he was, like, flashing in those paparazzi pics? Do you remember this, like, years ago?
And then what? His career, like, he was flashing the paparazzi?
No, he was, like, on the beach, and then, like, you could see, like, he was, like, showing his like, sack to people. And then, and then like his career kind of really fell apart. But like, I don't know. He's just a weird dude. But, it's amazing that dude had such a career though. He was in like major blockbusters and barely do anything.
And instead he's showing his crotch to paparazzi. Yeah,
I give him a lot of credit actually.
Hey, and he usually played the same character. I mean, you think about the character from Jurassic Park and then Independence Day. It's like the same guy.
Same line. I was like faster line. It's in like three of his movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's great.
Guys like that succeeding in Hollywood, I think. It gives hope for the rest of us.
You know? Yeah, right?
But do you guys, have you seen the new episode or the new episodes of Archer, which is the animated FX show?
No, I still need to finish season two. That show is incredible, though.
Yeah, they're on season three now, I guess. They did this storyline arc where Archer basically is kidnapped by pirates. But then he eventually becomes the pirate king of like this giant pirate island.
What is this,
then,
the Princess Bride?
I guess so. But it's very funny. You should check it out. John, what, are you watching anything or what? What's going on?
Well, the last show from network TV that I had actually watched like all the way through was 30 Rock.
Is that still going?
I thought so. I don't know. If it's back on, I'll check Hulu and watch it, but I mean, I don't watch too much TV. I mean, I've been watching more anime on YouTube and DVD than I've been watching American TV, I'm afraid.
Okay. I've been watching the new season of The Office, and it's kind of weird because Steve Carell left the show.
Yeah.
So what they did is they made this other character on the show. His name's Andy Bernard. He's played by the dude that was in the other movie.
Oh yeah, that other movie of the two that have ever been made. Right.
It's Ed Helms. Ed Helms plays Andy Bernard.
Wait, Ed Helms, was he in the Hangover? Is he the guy whose tooth fell out?
Yes, thank you. The Hangover. Yes.
Okay.
So he's like taken over as the boss of the office, but they kind of like made his character very similar to Steve Carell's character. So it's kind of weird. It's like, yeah, you're here's the new version of that guy in a lot of ways.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
They brought in James Spader, who's like the CEO of the company now. And I don't know. I thought it's like hit or miss. I think it's pretty funny. I think that show like kind of hit its peak a while ago. This is now season 8, I think, or season 9 or something.
Wow.
So, I mean, how many seasons can you do of like people working in an office?
Right.
They have almost as many seasons as the British one had episodes.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. I have the whole British set, and it's like, what is it, a dozen episodes or something, and then like a special?
Yeah, it's 12 and 12 and then a 13th.
Yeah, that was really well done. They really knew, like, okay, we're done. And we did, you know, we peaked it. And I think it's a problem kind of with American, you know, we've talked about this before, but like with all American shows, like they just run into the ground. Like, they just keep it going until it's dead.
More money.
Yeah, there's no art to it. Like, there's no, like, oh, now there's an ending or the character's progressed age or whatever. It's just kind of
like, I heard that they might be making it. Well, this is kind of on a tangent, but I heard that they might be doing a fourth season of Arrested Development.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But they would be focusing on one character at a time, leading up to the movie. Just what? I don't know. I mean, because that's one of those shows that it ended too early, but it was so perfect. I don't even know I don't know what you can do.
Yeah, and I saw that too. Like, I don't really know what to think. Why did you just keep it going when it was on instead of being like, yeah, now it's back, here we go? And it pisses me off because now they're going to be like, oh, the greatest show ever is returned to you and you should watch it. It's like, okay, why did you take it off?
Yay, Futurama's back.
Yeah, like a lot of these shows, and then it's kind of like, all
right,
you know.
Right.
Why did you do that? So, I don't know. Any other thing going on show-wise? Or...
Nah. The only thing is it's pretty funny that that the new show X Factor, which is supposed to be like the replacement for American Idol, Simon left American Idol to do it. He got Paula Abdul to leave American Idol to do it. It's like tanking in the ratings, and he put up $5 million of his own money for this show. So he's pretty fucked.
why do you think it's tanking?
Because it is American Idol. The show is like identical. You've got Simon and Paula, who are obviously two of the old judges from American Idol. You've got a guy, a black guy, who looks exactly like Randy Jackson. Like, he looks identical, except he's bald.
Yeah.
And then they've got this random dit from, like, the Pussycat Girls. No one knows who she is and no one gives a shit.
Josie and the Pussycats?
No, no, the Pussycat, what are they called? The
group, yeah.
The group.
Oh, dolls or something?
Group. Yeah, the Pussycat Dolls, yeah. I mean, who's heard of from them in, like, a decade, you know?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there, and the only difference between this show and American Idol is that you audition in front of an arena of people. So you have, like, an audience to cheer you on if you're good. Mm-hmm. And besides that, it is identical. Like, I don't understand what the premise was to even bring this show to America, except that Simon just wanted to prove that he was the reason why American Idol was popular, and he wanted to kick the show's ass.
Right.
So it's really – I'm watching it just to see, because I'm, like, fascinated to see how it's going to do. But – and the fact that there's a $5 million prize for whoever wins, which is fucking insane. I've never heard of that much money in a reality show ever.
People just don't care.
But people just – don't really give a shit. They're tuning out at this point.
I think that American Idol is starting to falter a little bit, right, in the ratings. And then now here's another American Idol, and maybe people are just like, I've kind of seen that.
Right. Before. Right, right. The other problem is with these shows, like, the people, it's funny because sometimes they find good people. Like, I'll be honest, the past couple of years, there have been a couple good people who've been found on American Idol, but they never win. It's always some fucking, you know, stupid stereotype. Last year, a country guy won. Who has, mm-hmm. like, the strongest country accent. Anyone who doesn't like country music is going to fucking hate this guy. And he won the show. Like, you had people there that were, like, pop stars, people who could have been a rock. There was a guy who was into metal. He was there playing with, you know, metal bands. That's what he wanted to do. And he gets voted off, but the fucking stereotypical country guy wins. It's just, like, you're not producing stars anymore. Like, Kelly Clarkson was the exception. After her, who's made it big after Idol, honestly?
They usually have, like, a very short-lived run. Maybe they'll have, like, an album, like, it's, like, one song or single, and then it's just kind of finished. But, the whole music industry is kind of beat up, you know, at the moment, and it is.
Right.
I know the South Park came back last night. I didn't see it. Did you see it, John?
I didn't see it, but I was kind of surprised. I mean, I thought that there might be more, but I don't know what it's going to be like. Well, it's going to be visible online, like, tonight or tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, I'm so lazy as far as watching stuff when it's on, because I'll just be like, oh, I'll watch it whenever.
Yeah.
It's so easy to watch stuff, like, you know, on demand and stuff like that. Mm. You want to talk about your favorite show, Dancing with the Stars, John? Anything to say about that?
What?
Your favorite show, Dancing with the Stars. Do you want to talk about it?
Come on, we all voted for David Arquette like you asked us to.
I don't even have cable. I'd make a joke about the show if I knew anything about it to make jokes about it.
All right, this is a good topic to kind of go into. You don't have cable, okay? A lot of people are doing this now. They just no longer have cable. Why don't you have cable? It's too expensive.
It's expensive, and I don't have time to watch TV.
Okay, so how do you actually watch stuff?
I just maybe watch an episode of an anime on YouTube, an episode of a TV show on Netflix or Hulu while I'm eating dinner, and that's pretty much all I have time for.
So you are the modern man, you know this, don't you? This is what people do now, I guess. But yeah, like, what's going on with Netflix now? They're saying, like, Netflix is doing terribly now.
Well, there's two Netflixes now.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
There's going to be Netflix, which is going to do the online stuff, and then Quickster, which is going to send DVDs to your house.
And they're all underneath the Netflix umbrella, or
Netflix? I think it's still the same company, owned by the same people, but they're separating the two services.
Is there any reason for that?
I'm not really sure why. Maybe because people were really having major hissy fits with the increase in pricing that Netflix had about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
So
I know Netflix is doing much it's much harder for them now because like things like Comcast are starting to do like on demand services and HBO as a service and it's really interesting how things have changed or are changing so rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
even over the last like 20 years, it's been so different.
Well, I remember, you know, like 20 years ago, people were huddling around the TV like, no, you have to get there at 8, blah, 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 blah. You must watch it then. And now everyone's just like, I'll watch it when I get home from work, whatever.
When we were kids, though, we had like the mom and pop video stores. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Blockbuster completely destroyed then.
Yeah.
And, I always hated Blockbuster because of that, because a lot of those stores had you know, different stuff. I like variety and things, but Blockbuster killed them, and then Netflix totally killed Blockbuster.
Yep.
They're dead. And now Netflix is starting to feel the pressure from all these other places now.
Yeah, not to mention that for a while, weren't the internet companies really trying to crack down on people just spamming, watching videos all the time, using all of their precious bandwidth? I don't know.
I don't know with them. I know. Like now the actual companies are getting involved, like with the on-demand, like what Netflix does.
Yeah.
What Comcast is doing. Like you already have Comcast as your cable company. Now you can log into your account on like whatever your device you have, your iPad, whatever, and you can stream all this stuff just like that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean,
Cablevision even has a feature where, let's say, you missed the last episode of The Office, okay, and you didn't want to go online or whatever. Cablevision archives like the past three episodes of every single popular show from like the top five stations. And you could just watch them on demand for like a month after they've aired, and they do it completely for free.
Wow.
Pretty awesome.
That's impressive.
Times are changing. I just want to talk about one more thing before we get out of here. I guess all three of us will be attending New York Comic Con on the 15th. I think John's going to be there for more days.
Yeah, the 14th, 15th, 16th, maybe the 13th, but the booths aren't open yet.
So we'll be there on the 15th. John, describe what will be going on at Comic Con.
You mean?
First of all, you're driving us, or what? What's going on? We're going to talk about this on the air, so you can't look up your eyes. Can't lie.
No pressure or anything, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I still have to work out with my friend who's sharing the booth with me what time we need to get there on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and what we're going to need to bring. I mean, we're going to have all the booth materials set up before Friday. So when Saturday comes around, we could conceivably drive. I think he's going to be in the city. So, yeah, I could probably drive you guys, but I'm going to have to head out there before, earlier, like maybe an hour or two before the convention opens. So you're just going to have to, like, hang out.
We'll have to go to, like, somewhere and hang out, I guess, for a little bit.
Yeah, walk down the block. Plenty of stuff there.
So why don't you tell me about, like, what's going on there, John?
At the convention?
What are you going to be doing at the convention?
Okay, well, I've got a table in the Artist's Alley of the New York Anime Fest, which has joined with the New York Comic Con as of last year. I'm going to be sitting there. My friend and I have a 6-foot table, which is going to be against, I think when you're walking in from the outside of the hall, we're going to be on the right side directly against the wall, the first booth. It should be pretty easy to find because my friend and I put together a frame made out of a PVC pipe, but my friend insisted on making it as tall as humanly possible. Like we looked to see what the maximum height allowable for a display was, and built it to be about that high.
Nice.
So we have on top of the 6 foot.
You may be actually kicked out of the convention. It's a possibility.
No, it's okay. I'm gonna bring a hacksaw so we can hack it shorter if we have to.
Yeah.
Which I anticipate having to do, but it's 6 feet tall, and it's going to sit on a 6x2 foot table, so it's going to be insanely tall, and it's going to be covered in stuff for his project that he's working on, which is a collaboration between artists that he's been finding across the internet, across the globe. I think he calls it the Global Manga Initiative. I don't have the link to its page yet because it's a really long thing to memorize. And he and I are going to be sitting at the table from open of the show Friday till close of the show Sunday. He's going to be advertising for his guys, the people who are working for him, and I'm going to be selling stuff.
Cool. And I think the plan is me and Phil are going to be at the convention, and I guess we'll figure it out, but for a certain amount of time, we'll appear at the booth or something.
That would be cool.
If people want to come over and say hi and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll pressure them into buying your stuff, and then you give me a high percentage of the profit. I think that works out for everybody.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I'm not bringing as much as I would have liked to bring, but we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be fun regardless.
All right, so I think that's about it. And your website is geekfiregifts.com. It's ready to roll.
It's very basic. There's like three blog posts and a few photos. I mean, store's not set up yet because I don't know what I'm actually have left to sell after the convention, but yeah.
All right, I think we're set. Phil, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out?
No, I guess just mention, obviously, my playthroughs. Go check me out on DSP Gaming if you don't know who I am.
They know.
I know they know. And also, I do want to give a plug that coming up in the first week of 2012, that there's a very high chance we're going to MAGFest. Well, actually, John and I are definitely going. When I say John, I mean yes. Rambo. We're definitely going, and we're trying to recruit other people to come with us. But, yeah, we're going to be out there. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a table set up. We're going to hang out, maybe play some games. There's tournaments going on. There's concerts all weekend. And it's going to be an exciting time, and we'd like to see people out there. It's probably, I would say, one of the biggest just gaming-related events that they hold in the country. That's not like an E3 where it's all advertisement. It's just for gamers to go together and have fun, and everyone should check it out at magfest.org.
Yeah, it's going to be really – I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun. I love getting out there and hitting the circuit, man, meeting the peeps. So, all right, I think that's going to do it for OJ, for DSP. This is John signing off. Thank you for watching John Rowe Presents, the best in free and optional entertainment. Thank you. Good night.
Peace out.